Millions of people in Pakistan are still in dire need of assistance 6 months after extreme floods submerged one-third of the country. According to a recent United Nations report, more than 10 million people lack access to safe drinking water in areas affected by the floods. Not to mention, all those displaced are dealing with food insecurity. The lasting effects of this past summer's monsoons, compounded with the extreme economic crisis Pakistan is dealing with, as well as the refugee crisis, has resulted in Pakistan being in sore need of humanitarian aid. Joining us now is the President and CEO of the International Rescue Committee, David Miliband. He's in Pakistan right now, and his organization is doing work there. Welcome, David.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
I understand you've just come back from checking out your organization's efforts on climate resilience and water sanitation in Peshawar. What did you see today?
I saw a community that was really rocked last summer as a result of really extraordinary floods. People talked about the way climate change is here now. It's not tomorrow's problem, it's today's problem. And so there's a real sense in this country, I think, that it's fighting on too many fronts. And it needs to get to work in a much more ordered way to handle those crises that are predictable. And sadly, the climate crisis is now a predictable one.
And I want to get to that in just one moment. But, you know, we all saw the images, David, of just the mass floods in many areas of Pakistan in the summer. Are any areas still flooded? Are people still having to live with water there? How are people living now?
Well, there are still displaced people. Whether you speak to our staff members or our clients, they know that what hit them was the last thing the country needed, because it already had economic shocks. It already had large-scale poverty. It already had a big terrorism problem. It's a country which then got hit by this, not just once in a generation, but once in a thousand years flood, which people believe is going to happen again and again because of the location of the country.
Yeah. So if it's going to happen again and again, David, what needs to be done?
If people are living on the edge, you need to bring them away from the edge before a further crisis hits. And so the most basic humanitarian needs, people being able to feed themselves, people being able to feed their families, people having their basic health needs met, that's still work in progress. That's not done. Remember, hundreds of thousands of Afghans have joined Pakistan's population since August 2021, since the new government, the Taliban government, came into power in Kabul. So you've got extra people coming over the border as well as humanitarian needs inside the country. Secondly, let's not wait for the next floods before taking some of the measures that we know make a difference, giving farmers cash, giving households also cash, provision so that they can stock up and be ready. It isn't just about the rebuilding of bridges and roads and houses. It's about livelihoods as well.
It seems like the scale of the problem is much bigger than one organization can handle. I know that at the last UN conference on climate change, countries agreed to establish a loss and damage fund to help countries like Pakistan, you know, those that contribute less than 1% of global emissions, yet they're bearing the brunt of the consequences of climate change. What does the world need to do to be able to help with this?
Well, the world has to learn to walk and chew gum at the same time. It has to find low-carbon ways of powering the global economy. Much of the technology exists, but it's not properly implemented or used or invested in. But we also know that we have to adapt to the climate change that's already built into the system. Thirdly, you referred to loss and damage. There are countries, especially those that have contributed least to the climate crisis, who are absolutely in the firing line when it comes to dealing with its consequences. And they're going to need more and more support the longer we delay helping them. There are meetings happening this week in Washington of the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund. They need to double and double again their efforts, not just to provide more finance for countries in debt distress and countries suffering poverty, but those suffering from extreme global risks, Pakistan being a very good case in point. And they also need to find new ways of delivering aid, because the old model of just relying on central government doesn't work. We're going to have to find new ways of empowering communities. And for that, one organization certainly can't make all the difference. You're absolutely right to say this has got to be a team effort.
David, I almost hate to have to ask this question, but do you think that the lack of urgency from the rest of the world with regards to the flooding crisis in Pakistan might have to do with the fact that The people affected are rural Pakistanis who maybe the world is not even really seeing.
Well, I think that both rural and urban Pakistanis are being neglected. This country is suffering from multiple crises, but so is the wider world. We've got to be able to help Ukraine and make sure we don't forget about Pakistan in the process.
Could another extreme weather event maybe mean Pakistan might not recover? Is that too dire a thought?
There are too many Pakistanis who haven't recovered from the last crisis, last summer. Another crisis will mean more Pakistanis don't make it.
That's David Miliband, President and CEO of the International Rescue Committee. Thank you so much for joining us, David.
Thanks very much for your interest.